Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son has opened for us a new and living way into your presence. Give us pure hearts and constant wills to worship you in spirit and in truth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I'm getting old. Now, it's all too sadly true, and I know some of you are sitting thinking, ah, give him time. And the others are saying, some others are saying, well, at last he's recognized it. But I have to say, it really hit home the other week. I was reading that they're looking to replace Daniel Craig as the film version of James Bond. And my first reaction was, oh, they're too late, I'm too tired now. Last year, courtesy of Joyce and Tom Hagen, I was given an Ian Fleming book, you know, James Bond book, to read. And if I tell you that the book was Diamonds Are Forever, you might remember what they were celebrating. I enjoy reading spy stories. However, more often they're stories by writers like John le Carré, probably because I could cope with his characters, characters like George Smiley, because they seem to me slightly more believable and normal rather than the more improbable but very watchable 007. One of the important things which appears regularly in these spy stories is the idea of a safe house. A safe house where someone can go to be out of the limelight, away from prying eyes, awkward questions, people demanding their presence. A safe house can also be some place where people can go to get rest, to build up strength, to prepare for what is to happen next. And it was only this week when I was reading about this morning's gospel story that I realized Jesus had a safe house. Indeed, quite possible that he had more than one. This was a place where he could rest from the constant demands of the crowds following him, a place to draw back from the increasing pressure of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, a place where he could spend time teaching his disciples, where he could find space and time to pray, where he could plan what to do next, what he needed to do to draw strength to continue his journey to the cross, a place where he could listen to God. In Luke 10, verse 38, we read that Jesus came to a village where a woman called Martha welcomed him into her house. Now, we know from John's gospel that the village was Bethany. Martha shared the house with her sister Mary, and they had a brother, Lazarus. These were the same two sisters who appealed to Jesus to come as a friend to help Lazarus as he lay dying. I think we can call their house a safe house for Jesus, a place where he could spend quality time and one to which he returned on his own or with his disciples a number of times. Now, Luke in his gospel, apart from this friendship of Mary and Martha, there's something else which Luke points out as important. Right much earlier on, first three verses of chapter 8, he says that Jesus was traveling with his disciples. That was not only the 12 disciples, but three named women, Joanna, Mary, and Susanna, and it's reported many other women. Now, the fact that there were women included in that group with Jesus is extremely significant for a number of reasons. Firstly, it was the belief of the strict Pharisees and many ordinary teachers of the law that whilst out in public, it was wrong for a man to speak or even to look at a woman. It didn't matter, even his wife and his daughters. Absolutely no communication was allowed. Now, it's more in my life's worth to take that thought much further. But some Pharisees did. They went so far as to keep their eyes firmly closed in public, just in case they looked even accidentally at a woman. I have to tell you that they were known colloquially as the bruised Pharisees. And secondly, in complete contrast to today's relaxed atmosphere, at that time when women travelled in a group with men and the journey meant they had to stay away from home overnight, the women were required to stay with relatives or at the very least close family friends. So it must have been quite disconcerting to the locals, not to say shocking, that Jesus included women in the group that he was teaching and with whom he was clearly travelling. Somehow, I don't think Tea in the Park would have been quite as successful if it had been held just outside Capernaum in the first century. Thirdly, it was also very unusual because Luke is quite clear that the women paid their own way. They used their own resources to help Jesus and the other disciples. They provided money as necessary and shelter for themselves and others when needed. So, here we have Jesus and his disciples, male and female, defying so many of the cultural norms. They were in Mary and Martha's home house in Bethany. And it's not difficult to think of the story of Mary and Martha as a clash of personalities, one the servant, the other the scholar, one seemingly right, one seemingly wrong. This meeting of contrasts is not something with which we always have coped well with in the Kirk. There is no right and wrong in this. God made us all unique and different, and we have to acknowledge this. There's a new book published this year by St. Andrew's Press, The Invisible Church. It was written by Steve Aisthorpe. He's a mission development worker in the Kirk, and he's based up in the Highlands. And I think this book is going to become a big part of how we look at ourselves and our mission in the future. And here's what he says about differences between people in the Kirk. No one psychological type is better or worse. They're just different. Rather like left-handedness and right-handedness, psychological types reflect preferences. For some, these will be strong. Others may feel they occupy the middle ground. As Christians, we see in this rich variety the fingerprints of our Creator. God delights in diversity. Personality inevitably influences how our beliefs and our spirituality are developed. People of different personalities warm to different aspects of the Christian story. They find different ways of expressing spirituality more or less helpfully. And crucially, they find different styles of church helpful and fulfilling. Being forced into practices that grate with one's personality will be a cause of mild irritation for some and the root of severe anguish for others. Well, when we begin to think about our individual inclinations and our personal preferences, we soon realize that there are countless variations. Whether you are male or female, which generation you belong to, your personality, even whether you're married or single, these are apparently things which are often quoted as barriers or potential barriers to feeling that you can belong to the church. I read another wee story recently. It took place in a small cafe in the north of Scotland. Probably could have taken place in Manor as well. Two young mums erupted into a cafe, accompanied by what looked like an irresistible tide of toddlers. When they eventually settled down in a table in the window, one of the mums drew the kids' attention to a small dog tied up outside. "Look at the puppy. Do you think it's a little boy or a little girl?" "No," came the firm reply from a wee boy. "It's a dog." Of course, he was right. It was a dog. It wasn't a little boy or a little girl. We have to rejoice in the differences which make us unique and special. We're all different, but we also have to acknowledge that we're all equal in the face of God. The truth of the matter is, of course, God needs both Martha and Mary. In chapter 10, verse 39, Luke writes, Martha had a sister named Mary who sat at the feet of the Lord and listened to his teachings. To sit at the feet of a rabbi meant that you had been accepted by him as a pupil of that particular teacher. Mary had become a disciple of Jesus and was learning from him. Martha, we're told, was distracted by all the preparation that had to be done. It's worth noting that Martha was not overwhelmed and she was not unable to cope. She is recorded as being distracted. She might have also, of course, been concerned that her sister was getting involved with a group of men and some socially dubious women. But of course, as well as all of that, Martha was worried about being the proper hostess, supplying food and drink and keeping the house clean with all the dust the traveling disciples had brought with them. The Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled over so many things, but just one thing is needed. And what was that one thing? It was the one thing which Mary did instinctively and Martha had to learn. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. I heard the voice of the Lord. In Mark we read, a great crowd hearing all he did came to him. In Micah, hear what the Lord is saying. Time and time again in the Bible we are told to listen. To listen to the Lord. The occasions vary. The timescales are vast. The reasons are many. Their actions may be different, but the message is the same. We must listen to God. Here in the story, we have two quite different people with quite different priorities, but being told the same thing. I think if I were to ask around the church this morning which of the women we are most like, I think for the most part we'd opt for Martha. She likes to get things done. She's a very practical person. However, we're not all clones. We're different in all kinds of ways and for all kinds of reasons. We live in a busy world with so many pressures and timescales. There has never been such a wide variety and a monumental scale of non-stop communication. In the midst of all that deluge of information, news, adverts, surveys, phone and text messages, social media, how do we hear what God is saying to us? God is talking to us individually and personally. God is giving us a personal message. It may not be completely unique, but it will be very personal. God is online for each and every one of us. It's our duty, our joy, and it's a fundamental part of our personal mission. We have to give ourselves time and space to listen to him. We have to allow ourselves time to let go of all the clutter, to take into account all our individual preferences and our personalities, to take time to review and think about all our long-held beliefs, and spend time quietly listening for what God is telling us. Place, patience, and prayer. We all have to find individually our own safe house. We must take time to listen to God. Amen.